John Allen is the senior correspondent for the National Catholic Reporter and the senior Vatican analyst for the cable news network CNN. While here to report on the special assembly of the Synod of Bishops for the Middle East, he came to our studios and spoke with Chris Altieri about prevailing perceptions of the assembly among the secular media and the public.
I think religious literacy in the mainstream media generally is a work in progress, and I think that applies also to the Christian presence in the Middle East. I mean, you're talking about a region of 16 countries, some 360 million people, about 5% of which is Christian. But in general, I think Christians, in terms of the sort of media awareness of the region, are almost invisible. I mean, it tends to get boiled down to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and the rise of radical Islam. And although on the ground Christians are players in both of those stories, in terms of sort of broader public impressions, I mean, they're kind of absent without leave. And I think one of the hopes of this synod is not merely to concentrate exclusively on the question of Christianity's survival, which is an open question in the region, I mean, marked by a significant out-migration. Some people talk about a Christian exodus. But beyond that, I think the bishops here are hoping to talk about the positive contributions Christians can make to constructing a truly democratic, law-based society in the Middle East, which is a kind of, it's a noble aim, but, you know, the evidence of it is sometimes hard to find.
In this case, the ability to raise public awareness, to shape the public consciousness of this crisis, is something that journalists who are reporting on it need to think about. Of course, you need to work with the raw goods that you're going to get out of the synod. Is there a story that you would like to see the bishops tell?
Well, look, I think the broad story that this synod needs to tell is that the fate of Christianity in the land of its birth is at risk. And that while there's a lot of promising things happening, and we are a people of hope, after all, and therefore we have to operate in the conviction that there is a future for Christianity here, and that it has a vocation as a kind of potential architect of a positively secular culture in the Middle East. That, you know, at the same time, I mean, it is also in many ways on life support. And that therefore the Western commitment to, you know, trying to promote peace and reconciliation, these aren't just abstract gestures of solidarity with a kind of embattled region of the world. You know, for those of us who still prize our Christian heritage, it is also very much about not seeing our faith extinguished in the Holy Land. I think that's the story to be told. I think there are, you know, countless kind of enormously compelling dramas, individual dramas that make up that broad narrative that could and should be told by the Synod. That's why I'm hoping that the Synod doesn't sort of get bogged down in what you might consider kind of insider ecclesiastical baseball. That is, you know, how do we manage the relations between the Chaldean and the Coptics and, you know, the Armenian and the Syrian rites. And, you know, this is all very important and so on, and the bishops have to talk about it. But I hope the compelling human drama here doesn't get lost, which is you've got a tiny Christian minority that is hanging on by the skin of its teeth, that has great dreams about what it can contribute to this region, and is in need of enormous help in being able to live those dreams.
One of the things that is making it difficult for people, and this is something that perhaps people outside the cultural purview of Christianity don't really understand, or only dimly or inarticulately understand, is the terrible damage that division within the Christian community does to their ability to thrive and to live the witness that they are and that we are all called to live. There is an ecumenical element to this. Is the crisis point at which things are arrived in the region perhaps able to be spun as an ecumenical impetus?
Well, I think you're putting it delicately. Let me try to put it a little bit more bluntly. In my experience of ecumenical work and interreligious work as well, there's nothing like a common enemy to get people to overcome their internal divisions. I think the common enemy that Christians have in the Middle East isn't Islam, and it's not Judaism, it's not Israel. But it is religious extremism, which, of course, makes everybody's life difficult, but it particularly makes your life difficult if you're a tiny minority with no resources to defend yourself. And so I think the distinctions between, you know, Catholics and Orthodox, and within the Orthodox world and within the Catholic world, while very real and still, as you say, kind of potent enough to make it difficult to get their act together, I think they do tend to sort of fade into insignificance when you're on the endangered species list, you know, which is the reality of Christianity in the region. So I do think that creates a kind of ecumenical opportunity, a sense of urgency that you know, in other parts of the world often isn't felt. I think the bottom line really is that it seems pretty clear that the explicit ambition of the bishops at the synod, laid out in the preparatory documents, in the opening speeches, and in what they've said around the margin so far, their explicit ambition is they want Christianity to be the cutting edge of a broader social and cultural transformation in the Middle East, away from theocracy and away from confessional states, in the favor, in the direction of truly pluralistic, democratic states governed by the rule of law. That's what they want the vocation of Christianity to be. Now, I think it is abundantly clear that, you know, until Catholics and Orthodox and the various rites within each of those worlds, until they can sort of put aside their differences and work in some kind of rough unison, that's going to be an impossible dream to realize. The other point I would make, Chris, is that I hope that we see these as complementary rather than sequential tasks. I mean, yeah, we got to work on the ecumenical front. We got to try to promote Christian unity. But if we're waiting around for that eschatological day when all of these divisions dissolve, we're never going to accomplish anything else. So while we're talking about ecumenism, let's not neglect, you know, the urgent contributions that Christians can and should and God willing will make to the kind of broader political, social situation in the Middle East, because I really think that's where the rubber meets the road. If there's a future for Christianity in the Middle East, it's got to be a democratic, pluralistic Middle East. It can't be a Sharia-governed, theocratic Middle East. And so this isn't just about the application of Catholic social teaching. This is about survival.